Don's, right?
Yep, okay, Don. Okay. Okay, let's sing happy birthday to these June birthday people.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
How about June anniversaries this week? Any June anniversaries being celebrated? Nope, I guess not. Okay, at this time, those of us who went to annual conference last weekend are going to give a bit of a report on it. That includes Pastor Sue. Mary Nickel was the church member, and June Potter was the alternate. And I was there because of positions I serve on the National Commission of Archives and History.
Whoever's starting, go ahead.
Well, somebody has more of an overview.
Okay, Mary.
I'm in the elections.
Okay. Mary's our delegate. She gets to start.
Thanks. Annual conference last week was a really busy week, and I just want you all to know and recognize that Pastor Sue really does an awesome job, and she had quite a few leadership roles there at annual conference. The poor lady didn't get in until it was after midnight one night and was back up and gone by 6 a.m. I heard her come in, so we do know she come back. I was sound asleep, didn't hear her leave, but June did. Because she had to walk by our bedroom to get out the door, or down the steps. So, just to let you know what kind of a... It's not all fun and games, it's a lot of hard work. And I really appreciate your leadership that you took. Okay, there was 1,960... delegates there at the annual conference. And the mood was set first thing on the first day by the Bishop, David Bard, if I say that right, with special, he had a special message, special song, and special music. And I'm going to show you one of the things that we did. They give us all a rock. And on this rock it says, Child of God. We had to give our rock away to somebody else. We had to do that 5 times. You are a child of God. God loves you, and so do I.
You are a child of God, and God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Thank you. Anyways, so there were some fun things, and that got us to meet other people and to make conversation with them and stuff, and just kind of a time of sharing. So with that, it was 5 days of pretty hectic stuff. They had a golf outing on the first day, but thank goodness we didn't get there in time or I'd been wore out even more. But there wasn't any room for my golf clubs in the car either. So
I did tell her next year we could make room.
But anyways, some of the nuts and bolts of the things that was going on, there was 6 United Methodist churches in Michigan closed. One was in our district. And it was in Flint. There was another one in the Thumb, and that was in Unionville. And, okay. There was 30 pastors that retired this year. And then there was 6 elders and 2 deacons that was...
Ordained.
And there was 9 elders and 2 deacons that was...
Commissioned.
I'm getting them mixed up. So, anyways, they also called Sandusky and Deckerville United Methodist Church's Sandusky and Deckerville Cooperative Parish for this year. And I'm also pleased to announce that Pastor Sue will be with us for another year. So. But just so you kind of get a feeling, there was of our days, most of us had to be over there before 8, and other than Pastor Sue, who had to get there earlier. And I think there was one day that Linda had to get there real early, too. She had an early meeting and takes some leadership roles, too, at the conference. And, of course, June was there singing her heart out, and she's going to tell you about the songs and stuff that was sung. I'm going to tell you about one of the resolutions because it really bothered me, and I'm going to share it with you. You can go online and get the resolutions. You can see a movie on the annual conference. They took the 4.5 days and put it together, and I think they've got it down to like 4 hours or something like that. But you can go on the website and, you know, download all that or look at it there. The resolution that really bothered me was resolution R-2019-9, and it's recognizing the unborn baby. The Michigan Conference recognizes the unborn baby in the womb as full human from the moment of conception. We discussed it, and then they called for the vote. People voting yes on that was 226. Voting no was 597, and it broke my heart and all of our hearts. I'm sorry to have had to tell you that, but we need good leadership, and I think we have it with our bishop, but we need to have it with the people that go there. And everybody has choices. We all have choices. God loves every one of us, even though we do and say wrong things. He's a forgiving God. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm supposed to. Mary mentioned riding in the car and driving up there, we found the capacity of the pastor's car because there wasn't a Kleenex that could have got in there. But we had a good trip. We really did. And safety and everything like that. And I did sign up for the choir. As being an alternate, I wasn't a voting member or anything, so I had to find some other things to do. So I did sign up for the choir, and it was beautiful. We had a lot of comments on how good the choir sounded. We sang one song each day, and the leader that we had picked some very, very good songs. I don't have a list of them here. And also, because of my time not being spread out, I volunteered to pass out the voting devices. This year they had a different way of voting. They had a device that you could just put in your yes or no, and I'm not sure the whole thing of it, but we had to write down names and numbers and tell them that if they didn't return it, there was a $125 fine. A lot of people would, they made sure they got their numbers down. And Mary and I went to the United Methodist Women, and I think you did too. We heard a very good speaker about a community house that they have where UNW supports that, and they have daycare and senior. And Mary and I went to Creating New Places and New Faces. And the gentleman that we had that gave the little seminar was from Florida, but his church was not just in the church building. He told about how we can go outreach in different places, and one of the places was a dog park. He said he went to the dog park and he collected a few people, sat on benches, and had Bible study. And there were a lot of different places where they had Bible studies and encouraged us to look at those options for ourselves, where the people are that need to hear and need to come to church. The one speaker that I was really impressed with was a gal that worked for the State Department, and she talked about so many places that she'd been, and she was on, and I don't have my glasses with me, the peace building educator, and she went to, I think, 20 different countries, and some of them she had a hard time because of war and different things. But as a whole, it was an adventure, and it was a very meaningful 4 days for me.
And that speaker from the U.S. State Department that she mentioned was a child of the conference, of West Michigan Conference. Her dad was a clergy member of the conference, and so she was raised through her whole life being United Methodist and knowing what the church was all about. And it's just exciting to know that we have people like that serving in our government agencies. This Department of State has nothing to do with politics. It's a foreign service career, and you just go with the flow of whoever's driving the ship. So she was really powerful and really is making a statement and living out her religion in embassies around the world. Okay, I chose to talk about the official reason every 4 years that annual conference meets, and that is to elect delegates to the next general conference. Now, the word general conference should be very familiar to you because we've heard so much talk this year about a general conference session that met in February, but that was a special session, and the people going to that session were the ones that were elected in 2016. Usually there aren't special sessions between general conferences. They meet every 4 years. So the next one will be next May 2020 in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And what I found really exciting is in this delegation of 20 people elected, clergy have 4 delegates to the general conference. Laity have 4 delegates to the general conference. And then after the general conference, there's a jurisdictional, so you elect 4 more for that, and then there are 2 alternates. So in total, laity were electing 10 people, and clergy were electing 10 people. What was really exciting about it is how young our delegation will be in 2020. I lost my page with the stats. But I think 40% of the delegation is under 40 years old. Uh-huh. The youngest being a lay member, a 17-year-old girl, and then there were also is a 21-year-old young adult from the church that Pastor Matt is pastoring right now. But just how young they were. On the clergy side, the first person elected is somebody who's probably going to be a bishop someday, Kenitha Bigham Zai. She's 59, but the other clergy elected were 37, 59, and 32. The laity ages elected were 39, 58, 41, 63. They were a little older, but as you got into the reserve members, some much younger people were elected. It talks about the delegation is a diverse group regarding gender, race, and age. There was an intentional effort to elect young leaders. 8 delegates, 40% of the full delegation are under 40 years of age. This was the one I mentioned was 17. Somebody was 21. The youngest clergy member elected was 32. Another clergy member 34. Another clergy member 37. 237, 38, and the laity 39. I also found it interesting that the delegation was 75% Caucasian, but the majority of our church in Michigan conference is Caucasian, but there were 3 African Americans elected, 1 Korean laity, 1 multicultural person, basically Hispanic, 1 who has disability issues, and about 1/3 of the people elected were from the former West Michigan Conference, and about 2/3 were from the former Detroit Conference. But our conference was a little larger, so it's not like people were voting on conference lines, because that wasn't even talked about. But just the way things came out, it seemed to be fairly equal. And looking for people to elect to represent some of the ethnicities within our conference, I thought that was very powerful.
Okay. I'm just going to wrap up that we had a wonderful time. Very stressed moments, some intense moments, but we worship God every day. And that's what we're here to do today, is to praise God. You can imagine almost 2,000 people praising God and worshiping together and singing. How beautiful it was. But I have to tell you, I appreciate Bishop David Bard. David is filled with passion. He is filled with the Holy Spirit. And he did not allow anything to get out of control. When we had legislation and we had votes that need to be taken, you have so many that can go for and you have so many that can speak against. One gentleman came up to the platform or to the mic and said his piece, and then he said, "And shame on you if you don't vote this way." And the bishop called him on it and said, "We don't do that. It's unacceptable. We all can have our opinions." And he did that throughout the whole thing. Nothing was ever out of line. He was very much a praying bishop, a bishop that is leading us, I believe, to our future, and I appreciate it. Thank you, ladies, for going. You have to go this way. I do have 2 announcements that need to be made. Here is a chart. We're having carpet downstairs in the Wesley Hall. You can buy a square. No matter what size you want, we can call it a square. There's pew envelopes in your pews that you can add along with your regular donation. Is that in place of your donation to the church? If you want to add to, and then we will keep the goal going up. And we'll just see where we get. But I believe they're going to be putting in, it's going to be some in the office and some in the Wesley Hall, but the office is going to be done. They're going to do the start in August, end of August. So please give. The second thing comes from Gayla Eagle, who cannot be here today. A joy that we have 14 campers signed up. 1 is still on a waiting list because their camper is full. The cost to the church is $3,000. We will be doing some more fundraising. And let me read this. We have 2 that are going from June 16th, which is next Sunday, Taryn Tank and Kaylee Mazzi. Is Taryn here today? I don't think I've seen her yet. So pray for those 2. Camp is starting as soon as school gets out. So continue to keep our people in our prayer. Let us now praise our Lord with our song, Holy Ground. Please stand as able.
Oh,
worship that's in your bulletin or on the screen. Jesus promised his disciples that when he left, they would receive the Holy Spirit, who would stay with them forever.
When the day of Pentecost
had come, they were all gathered together in one place, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit.
Come, let us worship God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Our opening hymn is number 539, O Spirit of the Living God.
Invite the children to come forward. Ion. See how many I have up here this morning. Come on over. Up. How are you all? Good. What looks different today? There's balloons. What color is it? Red, do you see a lot of red in church today?
Yeah.
What are these? Mine didn't squeal. Huh. Well,
we had those in ours, bro.
You had one and it broke? Well, you know what? We're each going to get one. You have to take the sucker out of your mouth, though. Oh, yours didn't do that either, did it? All right, pass behind you. There you go. Got a couple more over here. Got to have these. I thought they all had the little sound on them, though. All right, do you know today is what we call Pentecost?
Say it with me. Pentecost. Pentecost. Okay, hold on. Don't blow that yet. Can you wait just a second? There it goes. It's perfect. Hold on to it just for a second, okay? Pentecost is the birthday of the church. Yeah. I don't have a cake and I don't have candles. Well, we got candles up here. But I did bring balloons and what are these called? Party horns that don't party. So what we're going to do with Tina's help is we're going to sing Happy Birthday. So here's how we're going to say it. And the adult children are going to join us. Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday to the church. Happy birthday to us. All right, Tina, you're on. Here we go.
Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday, dear church. Happy birthday to us. Yay, right?
Okay, blow your horns. Blow your horns. That's right. Somebody whistle out there. Good. I thought I bought a whistle once. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. But if you go in the nursery, you may have to pay attention too. But if you're sitting out here, every time I say the word Pentecost, blow. Oh, this may be fun. Yeah, you like that? Pentecost. All right, we tried it and it worked. So, do you know we have a United Methodist cross? Do you know what is beside the Methodist cross? What is right beside it?
A
flame. That's because at Pentecost, the flame is a representation of the Holy Spirit. And so today we celebrate, it is 50, listen boys and girls, last week they wouldn't talk. 50 days, or 2 weeks ago, 50 days after Easter is Pentecost. And you're going to hear more in the sermon if you sit out here, just a little bit about Pentecost, okay? Pentecost. Pentecost. Hey, you're not here. You're not listening. Pentecost. You got to blow your horns. You can only blow your horn, though, when I say Pentecost. This may take all day to work on. I did say it. Okay. So, today is a celebration of the church's birthday and when the Holy Spirit came upon the people back when Christ had risen. Okay? So, way back a couple thousand years ago, and we're still celebrating it today. Okay? We're going to pray, and I forgot because my hands were full. Your bulletins are up here. I'll get them. We're going to pray now, Mason, Claire. Let's pray. Dear God, repeat with me. Dear God, thank you for fun, party horns, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. See, church has got to be fun. It can't be boring because we have Pentecost. Come on, guys. Got to listen. Okay. And then you don't blow your horns until I say Pentecost. There you go. All right, you can go in the nursery or in with your parents. Woohoo, you got me. Isn't this fun? And now our choir gets to sing.
We're singing, He Touched Me, indicating the Holy Spirit. It's our Pentecost Sunday anthem. Thank you.
Kids got to listen. I should have had enough for everybody, right?
Check on fire.
the choir goes down, I want to explain a little bit more with Pentecost as we prepare for our Old Testament reading. Pentecost, come on, girls, come on. Pentecost, we wear red because I've heard some people say, well, why are we wearing red? It's because the flame, the fire, came upon the people on the day of Pentecost. Linda, you're reading.
All right. The Old Testament lesson comes to us from Psalm. Selected verses from Psalm 104, beginning on verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things innumerable there are there. Living things, both great and small. There go the ships and the leviathan that you formed to sport in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. Let the sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, all my soul. Praise the Lord. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word.
It's time of we come together in prayer. And one of the reasons I lifted my Aunt Dorma up is I'm hoping to see her in July. For those of you that may not know, in July I am taking a renewal leave. It's a clergy retreat time for a whole month. I will not be here in July, nor will we take communion, nor will we have meetings. For when the pastor is gone, the laity has been asked to not have for you to be able to take some time as well. And when during that month, I will be renewing my call. I will be visiting where I was baptized. I will be spending time in prayer, and I will be with family. My aunt is the only living aunt at 92, living in Georgia, a spouse of a pastor, been in the church all her life. And my prayer is that I have time with her before she goes. And so that is a real concern that I have that's on my heart that's very heavy, is I want to be able to see her one more time and have some discussion. Let us go to our Lord in prayer. Gracious and loving God, through the Spirit you spoke the first word, and the whole order of our world came into being. We ask that you speak again to us in this time of worship and in every moment of our lives, that we all might know and tell of your powerful and loving deeds. Lord, in this day that we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, we know that our Jesus has now sitteth at the right hand of the Father Almighty, and that he has sent his Holy Spirit to be with us so that we can all be united together with him someday. But while on earth, we can be his hands and feet, and we can share the good news of his love and his grace, his forgiveness and mercy. Lord, we pray this day for those who are suffering in floods, for fires, for our farmers. They may get their crops in and they may yield at harvest time what they need. It seems like a difficult time, Lord, but you have promised us hope and you have promised us eternal life. And you have given us that power of the Holy Spirit to be here on this earth until that day comes when we join you in the sky. So, Lord God, we ask that you bathe each one of us with your Holy Spirit, filling us every moment of our life, using us that we may truly be you to the world, to make a difference, to not be judgmental, but to be a child of God and to see every person as a child of God. Lord, we give you this time that we gather together and we give you our lives, and we ask that you bless it. In the name of our Lord Jesus, who taught us together to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give We turn in our gospel, in our New Testament, to the reading of Acts, where we find the Pentecost story. You're slow. Got to keep these kids on task, right? I'm reading Acts 2. It's a long one, 1 to 21. Hear these words. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language that they spoke. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Pergia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of their own in their own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and they said, they've had too much wine. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit on them, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Lord, as I pray that you will know what's on my heart and in my mind, that you are always honored and glorified. And I pray, Lord, that there's always less and less of me and more of you. These things I pray. Amen. Now, I want to let you know the bulletin says Pastor Sue and Aaron, we're teaming up this morning. We're going to tag in a few minutes. I'm just going to talk a little bit about that Pentecost story. Blow your horns. I should have brought enough for everybody. Learn lesson for next year, right? So, in this story, if you recall, in the last few weeks, we have heard stories of Jesus ascending into heaven. You know, we talked about the Trinity Sunday, Ascension Sunday. Jesus is now gone to be with God the Father Almighty. With that, he says, and he promised, that when he goes, remember the story he talked to his disciples, and the disciples said, we wanted to go where you go, and they said, you can't. But I promise I will send you the Holy Spirit. Today is a day of celebration that the Holy Spirit came on all of those. And they said in Scripture, not in the one we read today, but in other places, that there were about 3,000 people there. All in their native tongue, they began to prophesy what was going to happen. We get that opportunity today. We too are filled with the Holy Spirit on this day of Pentecost. Make sure you're awake. So that we too can go and spread the good news that Jesus Christ not only died on the cross for us, not only was buried, but he rose again and then sent his Spirit. Because Jesus walked in the kingdom where he was, but with the Holy Spirit, he can be everywhere with all of us, to the ends of the age, to all nations, whether that be in Sandusky, Michigan, or that be in Georgia, USA, or to around the world, in Mexico, to Canada, to Haiti, Russia, to England, to the Middle East, where Miss Erin is going to go. And she's going to spread the good news. Erin, please come join me. And as she comes, I pray that we will pray for her and a ministry that she is about to share with us, because she is going to be prophesying and speaking where God has led her to speak. Bless you.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. It's so good to be up here again. I think the last time I was up here talking about my ministry, I just got back from Ecuador. I was a little old sophomore in college, and now I'm graduated. It's insane. I'm going to pray before I start. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, that in this church, we have all gotten just the opportunity to know you, Lord. And thank you, God, that you're an intimate God. Lord, that just sending your son to die for us, to become flesh and then to die for us wasn't enough. But you sent your Holy Spirit so we could experience intimacy with you, Lord. And I thank you that, that intimacy with your Spirit, God, that empowers us to just be lights in this world. God, this world that's so dark. And I pray that we all would just leave today, Lord, with just a better understanding of how your Spirit is working within us and how you want to use your Spirit to empower us, God, to do the things that Jesus did when he walked on this earth. I pray today that, you would be glorified, Lord. This is not about me. This is about you, God. And so I pray that you would be glorified. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was, a couple of weeks ago when I found out I would be speaking, I was asking the Lord, I was like, what do you want me to share? To be honest, the place that I'm going, I can't share a ton about, And I don't even know a ton about what my daily life is going to look like next year, which is like equally nerve-wracking and exciting. I'm excited to grow. I'm excited to trust the Lord in new ways. And he reminded me the last time that I was speaking that I was talking about Ecuador. And so I went back. I do a lot of journaling. I don't know if you guys journal at all, but this is how I like organize all that's going on in my head and that the Lord's teaching me. And somehow, I don't have a very good memory, you guys, so I think this is why I journal too. I got a bad memory from my mom. And so, by God's grace, I remembered this day, but I also remembered that I wrote about it in this journal, and I found this journal. I'm packing things up for my apartment, and this is dated, June 18th, 2017. Before I read this, I'm gonna talk about like why I think the Lord wanted me to share this. I don't really understand fully, but sometimes he asks us to do things that we don't understand. And so, yeah, he was just reminding me of, like, the moments in my life of surrender. I think the first moment happened at Bayshore Camp. Anybody know Bayshore Camp? This church actually sent me there when I was, I think, going into eighth grade. And that was the moment that I heard the gospel, like, clearly. Like, it hit. It hit me. And that was when I surrendered my life to God and accepted Christ. It was at Bayshore Camp. So that was a big moment of surrender in my life. And then the second moment happened when I got to college. I was a lost and heartbroken freshman. And I was just feeling really distant from the Lord because of the sin in my life. And through this event that was actually put on by the organization I've been involved with for the last 4 years, it was a worship event. And through the worship, I was reminded that I was trying to do it. I was trying to do it on my own, and I can't. I don't know if y'all have come to that realization, but you do what you do not want to do. What you don't want to do, you do, you know? And that was when the Lord was like, you're forgiven. Like, stop trying. Like, do you not know how powerful the blood of Christ is? And I was like, yeah. So that was when I think I surrendered to God's love and, like, forgiveness, actually, that day, and understood that. And then this, I'll call it my third big moment of surrender, happened when I was in Ecuador. Up until this point, you guys know I'd gone to Chicago, I'd been doing ministry stuff for 2 years, I went to Ecuador. Those were all Aaron's plans. Those are all Aaron saying, oh, Chicago. I've never been in a big city before, that sounds kind of fun. And I was like, oh, and I get to like talk about Jesus while I'm there, like that sounds good, God, like, can you bless that? And then he did, because he's gracious and patient with us. And then Ecuador, I was like, ooh, Ecuador. It's like, that one's going to scare my parents a little bit, but I'll get to speak Spanish, and I'll get to meet so many people, and I'll get to be in a different country. And I was like, Lord, can you bless this? And so it was all of Aaron's plans with me asking the Lord to bless them. And like I said, he's a gracious God, so he does bless those things, but that's not how I don't think that's how he wants us to live our lives, of just making our own plans and asking him to bless them. And he's been teaching me a lot about that these past 2 years. And so I was looking back at this journal, to come back to the journal, and I think my prayer in it, I was like, wow, like just seeing the Lord answer this prayer over the last 2 years. I wrote this after one day we went out into a community to pray for people, and you'll hear about it from my journal, but I was up on the top of the seminary that we were staying at, just on the roof. It was like this movie moment. It was insane. I was just hanging my laundry on the roof of this seminary, and that was when the Lord spoke to me in a way that, honestly, like he never had before and really hasn't since. I'm like, God, can you just tell me? Can you just speak to me like that every day? That was really clear. That was nice. But yeah, I was hanging my laundry, and he said, Aaron, why would you want anything less than this? Stop trying to box me in. I was like, yeah. In that moment, I was like, yeah, that's what I've been doing, God. I've been boxing you in. I've been taking my major. I've been taking all these things, and I've been boxing you in. I've been putting limits on a God who is bigger than we will ever know this side of heaven. So yeah, he was right. His ways will always be higher. So I told God I was committed to saying yes then to his ways, even if I didn't know what he was going to ask. I wasn't going to wait until he told me for me to say yes. I was going to say yes now. And I was like, this is kind of scary, but I guess, Lord, I'm going to do this. So yeah, I'm just going to read this journal entry from June 18th, 2017. This morning, 17 of us loaded onto a bus at 7:30 a.m. to go teach English to children at a school nearby. We had no idea what God had in store. The time with the kids was great. We taught them head, shoulders, knees, and toes, and some other songs. Their school was a concrete jungle. A continuous game of soccer was played by those on recess, while the other kids sat at desks in buildings surrounding the makeshift soccer field. The classrooms are mostly bare, and the teachers didn't even have desks. Makes me wonder how we could ever complain about the education system in the States. After playing with the kids, the pastor, Danny, took us to her church so we could sit and eat lunch. There we ate, and I used the restroom, and I wondered how people lived without washing their hands. Danny gave us a tour of the church, and Courtney and I translated for the group. The church was made up of a few outdoor gazebo-like places, except gazebo is too fancy of a word. Danny told us that about 400 people attended every week. And the church also offered a lunch program twice a week to the kids that were hungry in the community. The name of the church was Un Lugar de Esperanza, or a place of hope. After eating and seeing the church, Danny took us around the community. And this is when things get hard to explain. I could only hope that God will let me keep a vivid memory of this day, which he has. The first home we visited housed a mother and her 11 children. The house had a dirt floor and was the size of my room at home. Think of the most stereotypical, impoverished living situation, and this was it. Pictures can't grasp how many thousands of Ecuadorians were living like this. The church, thankfully, was building this family with their 11 children a home. This home would be smaller than the apartment that I was going to live in the fall, but it was made of brick. Next, we continued to a few other houses, meeting the families and praying for their kids, mostly for protection, good health, and jobs. When we got back to the church, Danny told us there was one more house we needed to go to before we left because the woman really needed prayer. She told us that the woman had gone to the hospital, but the doctors didn't know it was wrong yet. As we walked up to the door, Danny spoke with Rosario, the woman, to ask what we could pray for. She had just found out that she had been diagnosed with uterine cancer. Today she found out she had cancer, and today God brought us to Monte Sinai to pray. She was so kind. She welcomed us into her home and got us all plastic chairs to sit on, but we ended up standing and laying hands on her. We prayed in English and in Spanish and through tears. We asked God to rid her body of cancer completely. Some of my teammates said they felt something, that they could feel her being healed. My friend Courtney said at the beginning of that day that something big was going to happen, that that's what the Lord told her. So when we were about to leave before praying for Rosario, she was confused. And then Danny took us to Rosario's house. Abby was there, and Abby had cancer when she was 14. So she cried because she knew how hard this was going to be for her. Jess told me she felt peace flow through her during the prayer. John said the same thing, and so did Abby. They're all convinced the woman is healed, and I am too. I was thinking how I'd be so skeptical about this in the States if this happened, because I would feel that the Lord would just heal through medicine. But this woman doesn't have access to medicine, so God healed her right there through prayer. I am in awe of our Creator. Jesus, thank you. Lord, thank you. I know you are calling me deeper than my internship and deeper than my major. Why would I ever want to miss out on this life filled with your power and led by your Spirit for a life of comfort and money? I have no interest in those things, Lord. Change my heart. Change my heart to follow you no matter what. I'm serious this time, I say. I don't want to follow myself anymore. You are my God and my Savior, so use me. Make me strong and courageous so that I can do whatever you ask me to do. God, life without you is meaningless, and I want to have purpose in you alone. More of you, less of me. Less of me, Lord. So that was Aaron 2 years ago, which kind of blows my mind. It blows my mind even more so how the Lord answered that prayer, and I'm standing here today doing something that I never 7 months ago thought I would be doing. And at the time I was writing this, I think I still had it in my mind. I was like, I'm serious, God, this time, like, I'm serious. I want to do what you want to do. But I was like, oh, but he's still going to call me to South America. Because it just makes sense, you know? I was like, I can speak Spanish, and I love it. I was like, Lord, this is what I was created to do. But sometimes God does not ask us to do things that make sense in our little understandings of this life and who he is. Last semester, I was challenged to pray about going to the Middle East. And when I started praying, I told my discipler, I said, okay, I'll pray, but I don't really think that doesn't make any sense. I remember telling my mom around Thanksgiving, and I said, you can pray about this, but you don't have to worry yet. It doesn't make any sense. But through prayer and through some things along the way, I've decided to say yes to God, asking me to go to the Middle East for a year. I can't disclose the name of the country for security purposes, but the country I'll be reporting to is considered unreached, which means that less than 0.04% of its population is a believer in Christ, and less than 2% have had the chance to hear the gospel at all. The primary religion in this country is Islam. I just like want to pause there for a moment and ask you all to think about what it would be to live in a country where there was no access to the gospel. I think it was cool that we read in Acts where he says, like, the men will have dreams and they will prophesy. And there are people in this country, from stories I've heard from missionaries that have been there for the last 10 years, there are people in this country who are having dreams about Jesus, but they don't have anybody to tell them what that means. The Lord is pursuing these people, but he also needs hands and feet there to tell these people about Jesus. Less than 2% have had the chance to hear the gospel. While I'm in this country, I'll be doing campus ministry, so you don't have to worry. I'm not going to a war zone. I'll be on a campus meeting students and building relationships with them. And I'm there for a year because it's going to take a really long time to build relationships and trust in this culture to hopefully be able to share the good news of Jesus with these students. But yeah, in order to live in the Middle East for a year, I'm spending this summer raising up a team of supporters in prayer and financially to allow me to go. And I just can't think of a more incredible blessing than to have all of you, the men and women who raised me up in this church, to be on my support team for this next year. I leave in August with my team, so there isn't a ton of time to raise all that I'll need to go. I've been thinking that the Lord could probably do it all in 1 second, but that he takes 3 months because it's sanctifying for me. And he desires my sanctification over, like, the instant gratification and his power. But yeah, I'm going to be staying just afterwards for fellowship to talk and answer questions about what it would look like next year, as much as I know and as much as I can share. And I have some little paper things that I printed off. That just, like, tell you how, if you want to give, how you can do so. And they're over on the table as well by the drinks. But, yeah, I'm very, very thankful for the opportunity to even get to share with you all this. I mean, like, my heart from my journal and what the Lord has been doing. And I'm thankful that I can come back here and still call this church my home and have all of your support. So, yeah, I'm going to pray, and then I'll be after for fellowship if anyone wants to talk. Will you join with me in prayer? Father, thanks for this time to just get to talk to these men and women who were the people that told me what it looks like to follow you. Lord, I'm just so thankful for this place. I'm thankful to be born in a place where the gospel is accessible. God, where I had people pouring into me my whole life. And it took, I don't know, like 12 years for it to even make sense. And then another 8 for me to even want to do this with my life. And yeah, God, I just thank you for these people. Pray that you would just continue to bless them, Lord. I pray that you would bless this church as it moves forward. God, I pray that this church would just be a light in this community like no other. God, that people would just be, yeah, coming in on Sundays that we don't even know because they see something different, because they're attracted to your Holy Spirit within us, Jesus. And yeah, I pray that we would not limit you. God, I'm asking this for myself, but for the church as well. I pray we would not put limits on you and what you can do. You're powerful, and yet you're so intimate with us, Jesus, and I thank you for that. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Erin, before you go. Erin wasn't here when she graduated from college, so let's congratulate her on that first. And then I'm going to invite you just to put your hands out because I'm going to pray for her. So join me by raising your hands to her. Let's pray. Loving and gracious God, the one who calls Erin to go and do what you're calling all of us to do, but to a country that we don't know, to a place where we don't know, where uncertainty lies, we do know, and we trust in you, that you will put that hedge of protection around Erin and be with her family as they're here, but to give her the words and the wisdom and the discernment to know what to say as she does what all of us are called to do, to spread the good news. So, Lord, we ask a blessing upon her, and we thank her to be such a bold and courageous young lady and to finally respond to you in a way that you have called her. In the name of Jesus, the risen Christ. Amen. Going to move into Holy Communion, and we ask that we continue to feel the Holy Spirit move in and among us, because that's what it's all about. God has created us, knows us, but calls us into a ministry through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit working in us. And that's what Jesus was doing, was came to earth to show the way. And so then it was on the night that he sat with his disciples. And he broke the bread and he said, "This is my body broken for you for the forgiveness of sins." For he knew what the future looked like. And he knew he could not stay on this earth, but would have to send the Holy Spirit that all of us can do his work. So when we gather this morning, we remember. After the supper was over, he took the cup and he blessed it and he gave thanks and he said, "This is my blood poured out for all of you for the forgiveness of sins. A new covenant. I will be with you always, and he will be with you always." As we come today, we celebrate what God is doing in our lives, and we celebrate what we are doing for God. It's an open table. You don't need to be a member here, but to have a open heart, ready to come before our Lord and say, "Here I am. Thank you." Let us pray. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will pour out on us on these gifts of bread and of juice to be the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we remember what he has done for us. And may we give thanks. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Those helping, please come forward. We're going to go on this side. You guys go on that.
Come. Table is open.
Thank you.
thank you for all the gifts that you give to us. And now accept our gifts out of our love for you, out of being a child of God for you, out of our hope that we can continue to be your hands and feet. So bless these gifts. We thank you, Lord. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Our last song, 2238, we're going to do the first verse only. As you go forth this week, know the power of the Holy Spirit is with you. Enjoy the day of Pentecost. One more time. And I invite you to come over, speak with Erin, give her your blessing, your prayers, and there's goodies. You're all invited. Go with God's grace and his love. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.